on me.
Okay.
Pardon my...
It is. It's a red light. Somebody's got to do it.
To get started... when I signed up last Sunday to do today, I told her I was going to do rocks. And shortly after...
Rocks as in?
As in... Something about the stones in the Bible.
Big rocks.
Big rocks. There's a lot of stuff to say about stones. And because I was already working on it. And then just after that, the Lord dropped an outline for another sermon on me.
Ah!
So I'm not doing stones and rocks.
All right.
I'm doing something else. But I thought this is sort of a good intro to this, even though I say things just because they're patriotic, or they have something to do with the Lord, or there is good music that I like to listen to, and so I put things on my watch later list. Sometimes I put them on there just because I know I just can't find them again because everything is rearranged all the time, and I want to show her something, and so I save it, and then after I show it to her, I can delete it. So this is a young lady who was saved by special forces in Somalia. So this is her story, and what she says at the end is part of why I'm using it. But the story is kind of interesting, and I think you'll find it. Okay.
Like SEAL 2 and 3 or something?
No, I don't remember which. I don't know that they even mentioned the number. They say the SEAL team. So I don't remember which one.
Well, because the different numbers are assigned. There's an East Coast and West Coast.
Yeah, well, they're going to Somalia. I don't know where they came from.
Yeah, because they'd be the anti-pirate.
Yeah.
They have a Jolly Roger. That's the SEAL. That's their.
That's cool.
But it doesn't. I don't think it says specifically. But if you know things about them, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
But she's captured by pirates in Somalia,
oh.
And they're going to rescue her. So this is her account of this. Okay, here we go.
How does it feel to be saved by elite U.S. special forces?
Within minutes, all 9 pirates were dead.
In 2011, she had been taken hostage by Somali pirates when, under the cover of
a Navy SEAL team parachuted into the desert.
I hit her.
In her own words,
yeah.
I was on a mat trying to sleep when I heard a faint scratching noise.
I hit a button when I picked up the remote. That's it.
Yeah. So I have to start again and reconnect myself.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I know how to do this. I used to pretend like I don't sometimes.
There we go.
Okay. Now we're back. Yeah. Now we can start this thing.
How does it feel to be saved by elite U.S. Special Forces?
Within minutes, all 9 pirates were dead.
In 2011, she had been taken hostage by Somali pirates when, under the cover of darkness, a Navy SEAL team parachuted into the desert and ruthlessly hunted her captors. In her own words, I was on a mat trying to sleep when I heard a faint scratching noise. One of the bandits, nicknamed Helper, heard it too, and then I saw this look of sheer terror on Helper's face, and the room erupted in gunfire. I thought, okay, well, this is it. This really is the end. I felt all these hands on me, and I tried to protect myself. Then I heard my name. It was an American accent. I couldn't compute. They said, Jessica, we're here to take you home. I froze, and one of them picked me up and started running. At one point, they thought they heard something, so they asked me to lie down on the ground, and then they made a circle around me to protect me. It felt like I was the most important thing in the world to them. They were all ready to take a bullet for me. In the helicopter, they handed me a folded American flag, and I just started to cry. At that moment, I had never in my life been so proud and so very happy to be an American.
You guys know Trump said this much about Jesus.
Okay. What was your declaration at the end of that?
Never been so happy
to be an American. How many of us say that about being a Christian?
Right.
Oh, interesting.
How many of us realize that when things get tough, Jesus surrounds us and has already been willing to take the bullet for us? So that's where I'm starting. And then I put this away and get this one.
There we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Let's see if it works. Okay, here we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
I couldn't put that onto my thing because it has copyright things on it and it does, it won't.
Oh, it won't link, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it won't make that connection. They're more strict on the permissions they have on YouTube.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so good morning. We are starting something that I'm going to call declarations. I was reading last Sunday because the Lord gave me this stuff that I had to read. And I opened my Bible and all of it was highlighted in orange in my Bible already. All of it.
That's cool.
The whole thing. Uh-huh. And I will read it the way I read it. And then I'm going to talk about it because you start talking about Romans. And then I mentioned some things about how it was like a constitution or declaration of independence for us. So I also have that here because I'm going to make some connections. But just what God told me is this is how I read it. It's not all together, but I'm skipping things to let you see the stream of thought. It says, this is from Romans 8. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have been first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption and redemption of our bodies. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was the stream that God gave me.
Come on.
And it's all highlighted.
Hey.
Yeah.
My time like
it's among all those things, there are parts of my Bible that have also the orange. And now that I'm going through things again, I'm kind of using other colors like greens or whatever to do stuff. And I was thinking, well, that's one massive declaration that we don't think about.
Right.
From the beginning, there is no condemnation. How often do we feel condemned?
Right.
There is no condemnation. So I started reading and studying this stuff. And I was trying to find pictures and things to put in. And so the only thing I really found that thought was good was that girl that got saved, although there's other things that are there that I could have used in other ways, and I chose, that would just be way too much of my personal entertainment. And I couldn't necessarily justify it. But declarations, what does God say?
There you go.
What has God said? And Romans, I mean, everything is what God has said. And Romans has different chapters that talk about things that we're supposed to know. Paul's writing to Romans. They're Greeks. They're Gentiles. They don't know anything about the Old Testament. They don't know anything about how God thinks. And so he lines it all out, you know, including his own concern for the Jewish people. Everything's there. And chapter 8 starts off with no condemnation, and he has all things work together for good. It's got nothing can separate us from God. That
right.
is cool. And even as Americans, we have to understand some things about our country that have made us what we are, that God put us here, and he instilled in our culture and of American thinking some of these things. And so I'm going to read you some things that say how much of what God believes about himself and us does he have in our founding documents from the very beginning. Okay? So I'm going to read you part of the Declaration of Independence. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government. We are the government. But everything has come from God. We are all created. I've always lived up to that, which is what everybody's, all the people out there hold it against us. We aren't perfect, like our doctrine said. Well, there isn't anybody who's perfect. But we've always been striving for that. That has been the goal all the time. We have quite often fallen far short of it, like we personally do. How often do we live up to the document? And how often do we fall short? How often do we forget to remember the declarations? Because the declarations are what are there. That's what we forget as a nation. This is what we forget as individuals. Declarations. But you know, the beginning of this document is the beginning of a repentance. Do you know that? It says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which connect them to another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. That's an act of repentance. We are separating ourselves from something that's not good to make something better.
Oh, that's good.
To make something better. And then after this, there are 27 offenses that are declared. 27. I used to teach history, you know, so. But then it's also the Constitution. Our founding documents are amazing. Benjamin Franklin, who was not a Christian, he was a deist at best. But even he, when they were writing, getting ready to write the Constitution, he had to remind everybody to pray. He said, you know, we didn't get here because we were strong or good or lucky. We prayed before every meeting as a group so that we would succeed in the war. And now we think we can do the Constitution all by ourselves. We're going to invent a government. And so they prayed. So what did they start?
We should pray more.
What?
We should pray more.
Probably. I believe somewhere in the Bible says pray without ceasing.
Yes.
We should never stop. I always like Tevye in The Fiddler on the Roof. He always has an ongoing conversation. Right. He never says, excuse me, I gotta talk. He just talks.
Right.
He just goes. And he never says amen at the end. He just stops and continues later on. He's always talking. Isn't that amazing? I find that really cool. Even though he's a funny guy at times, but he knows enough of what's right that he draws lines and then he sticks to that line even when it's hard. He stuck to a very hard line. So, it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, not to form a perfect union, to make a better one than we had. They had the Articles of Confederation, that was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was the worst thing. That's what they're talking about. Says, we want to make a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain this Constitution and establish this Constitution. That's almost a prayer. We want to make something better. We screwed up the first time, and we should have known better then.
I have to tell you, I was singing it as you were saying it from Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, yes!
Do ordain and establish the Constitution.
There are so many things that we have that are ingrained in our culture that we reject because it's part of something else. The Marine hymn from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. Tripoli was the Barbary pirates. We went and fought them. We've had problems with Islam for a long time. They fought in 1801. Our founding fathers did not like the Islamic people because they were really mean and nasty and harsh against everybody, including their own, back then. They already knew. We already had experience in our history, already. And they learned from us. I mean, it only took a handful of Marines to teach them that they should leave us alone, and they did. Because they were robbing us, They were pirates, like Somali pirates. This is North Africa, Mediterranean Sea. They were stealing the ships, enslaving Americans. They're still enslaving people, their own. There's more slaves now in Africa than there were before. And it's them, it's an interesting thing. Okay, I can get onto that for too long, and it's too current. But Romans 8:1, this is the first of the declarations. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
There's no condemnation. Why do we feel condemned? Why do we act condemned?
Because we feel like we're not worthy.
We feel like we're not worthy. Mm-hmm. We know that we've done stupid stuff.
Right.
How did our Declaration of Independence start? Do we repent and say we're not going to go there anymore? That's what repentance means. Mm-hmm. This is bad. It's not saying I'm sorry. This is bad. I'm not doing it anymore. It's not that hard of a concept. It's a hard concept to do because our nature says, Isn't that what it says? We kind of blink and wink and walk away. But there is no condemnation. We don't have to be this way. We can have a lot more fun. I mean, even in suffering, we should have more fun. You realize that? There is no condemnation. Therefore, we'll get to that. I got some other verses here from Romans that says we should. It doesn't say fun, but if you read behind the line, I think we should live differently than what we, if we understand what God is doing. So let's continue. Let's see, I already did that. Okay, I'm going to do this one. I'm skipping some stuff just because they said, I don't see it. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. You realize that we suddenly got separated from creation now? Creation is talked about as one thing, and then there's us. We're not creation as such, in this sense here. We're groaning and for different reasons than they are, because they have, even the creation is not going to have the same kind of redemption as we have. They don't groan the same way that we groan. We understand that we are the first fruits. You know, that word first fruits has an interesting, it says that we are, as first fruits, we are kind of compared to the first fruits that's offered, the best. First fruit offerings are the best.
Right.
Beginning, the best, and you offer it. Why did Cain and Abel have a problem? He was trying to offer, not necessarily first fruits, he was just, what he was doing, he was offering himself as, I'm good enough to do this, instead of first fruits. There was a difference. If he had a first fruits attitude, I don't think that it would have turned out the same way, because he was a farmer. But he didn't have a first fruits attitude. He said, I'm good enough. I did this. This is what I did. He gave himself credit, and he got mad because God didn't acknowledge how good he did. So, first fruits credit. What else did I say in this? We're groaning because there's an experience that's common. Common calamity. Do you experience a common calamity? Adam's sin, and we experience his sin. We're guilty. We're not guilty because of Eve. You read in 1 Timothy, maybe, where it says, this is where it came. She did this, but Adam chose. He did it differently. We have a common calamity. Does the creation itself have a common calamity? They did nothing. They suffered because of Adam. That separates us from the rest of creation. And adoption. Isn't that cool? I like the fact that we're adopted. But you realize that in Roman society, and I mean, especially for this group, they're Romans. They understand adoption means something to them. In society, nobody's born into the family. Everybody can be adopted. Has to be adopted. If you want to be the firstborn, you have to be adopted as the firstborn. You aren't born the firstborn. Remember Ben-Hur, the movie?
Yeah.
That general, because he was saved by Ben-Hur,
adopted
him, and he became the heir. That was the Roman custom. If you got mad at your family, you could disown them by not adopting them. Because if you're not adopted, you're no better than a slave. Think about that. We get to be adopted. And we're eagerly awaiting the adoption as sons. Or at least we should be. That's part of our declarations. I get to be adopted. Actually, you are adopted. You're just waiting for the culmination of that. The price has been paid. There's a price paid for adoption. It's already been paid. That cross paid an awful lot of stuff that we don't think about. It paid a price for our sins. It paid a price for our adoption. It did a lot of stuff. One price covered a lot of stuff. Covered a multitude of sins. So, we have that as a declaration. We can declare that I'm a son of God because I'm adopted. And all I'm waiting for is that culmination when I get to be with him. Let us continue. Here we go. Romans 8:28. Are we happy to suffer?
No.
And we know that those who love God, know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say it does good stuff. It says all those things that happen are done for good.
But doesn't say what?
Doesn't say what? It says all things work together for good. It doesn't say that the quality of the actual act is a good quality. It's Jesus, you're going to suffer like me. How did he suffer? Physically. Did Paul suffer? He goes through some litanies of all the things that he suffered. You know, I was thrown into the ocean. I was whipped. I died. I was stoned. He suffered. And somewhere, I think he says that you're going to suffer like me. He reminds them, you should follow me and follow my example. That's not exactly a positive thing sometimes, especially when he's writing that letter from prison. And in prison, he and Silas were singing. And then freedom came. The chains were broken because they remembered the promises and they were making declarations. I think they're singing those declarations in song. Romans 8:28 is not completely understood by people because they ignore the negative. Everything's going to be good. No, it says that it's going to work out for good. But sometimes the steps are difficult. We don't like climbing steps, especially if they get past two. Because we get tired. In fact, when we go to Hearst Castle, you read the tour, they say, this one has this many steps.
Yeah.
And they ask you, are you healthy enough to go on the tour? Because you're going to take 176 steps. And sometimes 100 of those steps are all over time, going up one stupid flight to get to the third floor. The steps are not easy, but are they worth it to get to the good end? Because God promised. We should be declaring this. All things work together for good, especially when you're going through the hard times. They're part of the plan. I go to the gym and I work. Some people just go there to listen to their iPods. They're listening to music and they spend more time going through playlists than I go through my activities. I'll go through three stations and that person's still sitting there trying to figure out which song I want to listen to. I don't get that. But that's why some people don't suffer well. They don't suffer well. It's hard work. I remember one time I was in the gym and there was a teacher or counselor from school, and you were there too. You were on the treadmill or something. And he asked you where I was. He said, well, he's working out over there. And he looked and he found me and he said, he's working hard.
Suffering.
It's, but it, to get a good result, you got to put in the good work. So, and God's love is an amazing thing. This is this love is the agape love. And we know that for those who love God, we have to have agape love. That's what it's talking about. We are really close to the Lord. We've worked our way to where we are experiencing some of that. Not that we're 100% all the time, but it says we love God. We have access to that love because God lives in us. And all things are going to work together for good. And I think as that word, we get better at the agape. Yeah. And good things always originate from God. Because only God is good. Remember? He said, well, Jesus said, why do you call me a good teacher? Only God's good. Only God. It says, all things work together for the good that comes from God. You may get some nice stuff around, but the good stuff, the godly stuff, is worked out through all things. So, continuing on. One more place. This is really an important one. Yeah.
I just have to say, because I was looking at that word for those who love God, and mm-hmm. you had just said it's the word agape, and so I was just, because I looked at it and it said agapeo.
Yeah.
And I was just Googling, what's the difference between the two?
There's a noun version, there's a verb
agape's
version.
Agape's the noun, and agapeo, for those who love God, it's an action.
Yeah.
It's the verb.
I've never heard that.
It's an action, a choice. It's, you know, making a decision. It's, yeah, that was very interesting.
What is it, agape?
Agapeo, yeah.
Agape is that.
No, I know what that
okay.
is.
Okay, yeah, so agapeo, that's the word that's used in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the verb form of it, but mm-hmm. it's indicating, yes. That you're expressing,
when
you're choosing, you're making an action, you're going a direction, you're...
I have not looked at that.
You see, even those who are called according to... Called is not a verb in Greek. That's a description, it's an adjective. We are called. Not that God is calling us, but we are classified as called.
Yeah, we're yes.
It's a classification. So he works all things for good to those who are in that proper classification of the called.
That's super cool.
Isn't that interesting? You know the story of the 10 virgins? And some of them had oil and some of them didn't. They all acted like they were called. Mm. Only half of them were called. The other half looked called, but they weren't because they didn't do all the right things. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, but there's a difference. Or there's the place where it says, Lord, Lord, we did miracles, we did this. It's, I never knew you. They looked like they were called. They were acting like they were called, but it's possible not to be called and look right. There are people in churches that are not called. It's a difficult thing. We have a really interesting church to look at in our country alone, let alone the world. Are all the people in the churches called? Are all those churches teaching people how to be called? It's an interesting thought. But we understand something, we can make some declarations about that. I'm called, I know. Therefore, other things can be declared, like, I don't have a spirit of fear because God hasn't given me one. I shouldn't be afraid. God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me of love and power and a sound mind. That's what he's given me. Why am I afraid? why am I running on this gas tank of fear or disbelief or whatever the gas tank has in it? We forget who we are. That's why it begins with, what does God say about us? What does God say? Well, we shouldn't have to be condemned. We don't. All things work together for good. If we are in that group, then we should have a little bit less fear and a lot more confidence, even though things are difficult. John was boiled in oil, and he didn't die because he didn't get hurt. He got stuck on the island of Patmos. Talk about suffering. That was possible suffering. All the Christians had died in the arenas. Some of them were singing. They were declaring, we are Christians, we love Jesus, and that's okay. So, continuing on. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, or created things, some translations say, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the separate is a very simple word. Separate is to create space. That's all it means. So I should be like this, and things get in the way, and it causes separation, a space. And only God can close the space. I repent, space is closed. I didn't close the space, God has closed the space. But it says to separate is, there's a space. And God says, there's no space that get in our way. Get the space. So, here we go. Duck Commander, I like that. Duck Commander. I know, Phil Robertson passed away. His wife is having a really hard time. They were married like 39, 40, I forget how many years. And she's really in a deep depression. There was a request for prayer put out. And so, but this was written a long time. I think this is from 2013. The kids were still at home, but this is from one of the brothers. To be like Christ, we have to give up our natural impulses, and that is not easily done. Jesus didn't come to this earth to overthrow, but to overcome. By his yielding to the divine plan of sacrifice, salvation, and servitude. So there you go. What declarations are we going to make? Maybe we need to learn something.
I was thinking about, as you were talking, right, in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard it said, but I say to you, that all these declarations are like, it's like an opus. It's like a, hey, remember, you've heard it said, but this is what's true. They're declarations about just the promise.
It was several years ago that I was impressed by Mr. Backlund. I don't like necessarily how he preaches, but I like what he says. Mm-hmm. His style is an irritation to me, but his content is not.
What do you say?
We went through several times with our home group, the declaration thing, the 40-day...
Oh, yeah.
40-day fasting on negativity,
yeah,
or...
Yeah, so good.
Not fasting on positivity, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I always liked the fact that he gave you a list of positive things to declare. Mm-hmm. Every, you know, at the back of the thing, every day you have something to declare that was positive. And I like that. And his story, I can't remember, it's one of the first examples of how we, is this, the apple tree, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The apple tree has no leaves, and it's wintertime, and it doesn't look like an apple tree, but it declares, I'm an apple tree.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And when the leaves come, it says, I'm an apple tree.
And when you chop it down and it's dead.
It's an apple tree.
It's an apple tree.
Yeah.
When it gives you an apple, it's an apple tree. When it gives you a rotten apple, it's a bad apple tree.
It's still an apple
tree. But it's an apple tree, you see? And, you know, it's...
So good.
You are what God has made you, but you have to be what God has made you.
Come on.
Whether you look like it or not, there are times that you're not going to look like it, and you're not supposed to always look like it. The apple tree has leafless times. Grapevines have grapeless times, and they're supposed to. They're getting ready for the time to have a new harvest, a new set of grapes.
Yeah.
So we have some times of growing, of resting, of growing again. You know, our life is an amazing thing, but we have declarations to make. It's okay. I don't have any grapes. That's good. I'm still a grapevine.
Yeah.
I'm an apple tree. I'm a whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Hey,
let me pray.
Yes.
Thanks, God.
Lord, I thank you that we have multitudes of declarations we can make. We have to remember and know them. We have to learn how to live by them. And your spirit in us gives us the ability and even memory. Part of the reason the Holy Spirit came was to remind us of things that we've already learned. We've learned a lot of things about declarations that we sometimes forget. Maybe so we too frequently forget because life happens. The real life comes from you, and that life should always happen and keep us fresh. And I'm thankful that we can do that because Jesus is there at your right hand to help us. He sent the Spirit that empowers us so we can succeed in Him.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.